There was an old lady who was very active in our church. After hearing the message, she came to me and asked, "Pastor, I have a lot of challenges and questions when people talk about Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit." And she asked me one question, "I'm not sure that I am filled with the Spirit of God." Many times, this is the question that we all have in our lives, because the church may not emphasize. There are churches who are emphasizing. Sometimes the members may not understand what is the real ministry of the Holy Spirit. Always, these are all the challenges we come across all parts of the world. Even early church we see, especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul was talking about the different gospel, different spirit, and different Jesus. There, even the false teaching was so prevailing in the early days, because when people say that Jesus, Spirit, and Gospel, it doesn't mean that. It is talking about the Gospel of the Bible, Gospel of the Jesus Christ. And same challenge she had in our life. She was very actively involved in the Women's Fellowship Choir, as well as she was giving leadership for the denominational institutions, very active. She felt that her participation in the work of the Lord, that is giving some kind of satisfaction for her life. I asked one of the questions to her. To answer to her question was, "Do you know that Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And I asked the other question, "Do you have the assurance that your sins are forgiven?" Very simple question, is it? And it's a very objective question. The answer should be, yes or no. This dear auntie had her own struggles to respond to me. She was telling, "I am very active. My father was the pastor of the church and I was in the pastorate committee." Good. Congratulations to the new deacon team. And going on adding so many things. Then I asked this elderly lady, just the question is very simple. "Do you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Yes or no?" She didn't have the answer. She was talking about her engagement and involvement in the church, various activities. And this may be sometimes brings a kind of a confusion or anxiety to many people who are very faithful to the church. And then I had to talk to her very personally about what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And for our understanding, let me go back to another text which we didn't read. Galatians chapter 5, it's a wonderful text, and I would like to just take three verbs before I go to the passage which was read to us. And here, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "If you live in the Spirit," what is live in the Spirit? It is the introduction in our lives. Live in the Spirit is, the Bible talks about Ephesians chapter 2, you are once dead to the sin and trespasses. But now you are alive in Jesus Christ. See, that means you are given your life to the control of the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to walk in our spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 16, it says that it is the Holy Spirit who testified in your spirit that you are the children of God. So friends, when we allow the Holy Spirit to walk in our spirit, till that moment may not be having the discernment about what is wrong, what is right, what is sin, what is trespasses. But there will be a time, or there was a time, we allow the Holy Spirit to walk in our spirit. When we have given for that wonderful partnership to the Holy Spirit, that is the time we are come to the real understanding where our conscience start to operate. That's what the Bible talks about, the good conscience. Till that moment, we may not have the sensitivity about the sin, but when we come into the intimate relationship with the risen Jesus Christ, then we may be able to see this is what is right or wrong. Yesterday evening, as I was here talking about one of the small boy in our hostel, when the teacher asked him to copy during the exam, and that guy said, "Now I believe a God who is in me. When I do wrong, he condemns me. When I do right, he applauds me." For other students, they didn't have that kind of sensitivity to what the others said. The greatest miracle of the coming and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the conscience operates. And then The next word, what we see here, verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit. So the first one is, we come to your point to say that live by the Spirit or receive the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit may be a day experience in our lives. And led by the Holy Spirit, there are different verses that we can translate. We can say that filled by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. Otherwise, influenced by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives. That's what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We receive the Holy Spirit in a day, but the filling of the Holy Spirit is the daily process of our lives. Friends, where we allow our lives to the control of the Spirit of God, He transforms our lives. And He is the one who sanctifies our lives. The greatest ministry of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify our lives so that we will come into the image of like Jesus Christ. There will be a day when we see Jesus and the Lord is much anxious to see like Him. That nothing else. And the rest of the things may be the minor, but the greatest ministry of the Spirit of God is to transform our lives. And the third word, the first one I said, live by the Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, that is the fullness of the Spirit or the fulfillment of the Spirit of God. Then the next word it says in verse 25, we walk in the Spirit of God. That means day-to-day life, we become sensitive to the presence of God. In all our decision makings, He will come and give us the guidance so that we will take the right decisions of our lives. So I have to talk to that elderly lady about what is live in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. And then she came to your point to say that I'm yet to confess that Jesus Christ as the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, we may be very active in our churches. Still, we may have our own anxiety. Not very clear that Jesus has come in my life and the Spirit of God is having control over my life. If not, assurance of the salvation will lead us to understand and experience that we are filled by the Spirit of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Here, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He asked the disciples to wait so that they may be able to receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, it says, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And here, Jesus is giving them an opportunity. In the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit was given to a particular person, as we read, for a particular time, for a particular purpose. So that was the Old Testament. But now, the Holy Spirit is given to all. That's the New Testament era. So that's why we receive the Holy Spirit, we are filled with the Spirit of God, and we are led by the Spirit. And then the Spirit of God is given to us to be the witnesses. And the Bible says that you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The people of God, we are called as a body of Christ to be His witnesses. Especially after the Reformation, when so many denominations came, like the Presbyterians, Methodists, Anglicans, so many other groups of people, each church had three mission wings. That means the church had their own church council. That is basically to do the maintenance and the ministry of the local church, as we have men's fellowship, women's fellowship, Sunday school. So that's one of the pastorate committee, as well as you have now today, the deacon's board. The second one was they had the home council. Home council was basically the churches are involved in planting the churches in the neighborhood. And that's why you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea. That means same culture or same language group, you do the job. Home council. Then the third council was the field council. That means sending people across the culture. If we come to the northeastern part of our country in India, we could see the Presbyterian Church of India. Some of the states are fully dominated by the Presbyterian Church. Some places fully by the Baptist people. Some places Lutheran. Some people Anglicans through the CMS. They started their ministry. So the denomination sent the people across the culture, across the nations, so that the church may be able to send their workers where the mandate, what the Lord has given to the body of Christ, may be fulfilled. And the history says, do you know how much the church spent for that? For the local church maintenance and the ministry, they spent 25%. For the home council, that is to plan the churches in the neighborhood, they spent almost 30%. 45% they spent in sending the people across the nations. That means almost 75% of the church investment was upon the people who never heard the gospel. This is the history. That's the way the church was able to move out in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. How it was possible? Because it was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In the early church, every members, they are actually involved in taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just I'd like to give 5 passages, and I'm not going to give much inputs out of that. You can go back to your home and read how the Spirit of God was involved in taking the gospel to different places where people are able to see the glory of God. As a result of that, the churches were planted. When you're talking about the mission, it is not an activity. Mission is talking about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? We pray for the rule of God on this earth. In the rule of God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, when the repentance and forgiveness is given to the people of God, then we see the righteousness, holiness, peace, justice, equality, joy will be among the people, where people will have the harmony. They may be able to see God who created the heaven and the earth. They will be able to see the Savior of this world, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, the early church was actually involved. How the early church was able to take it forward, as I told you, there are 5 just important passages I'd like to reflect upon this morning. The first one, the Holy Spirit for our personal life. We see in Acts chapter 4, here, Peter and the team, when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, they were able to witness that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and also they were able to proclaim that Jesus is the only Savior. Verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12, we see, not there is a salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And also, when they were able to confess that Jesus is the Lord, and when they communicated the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that was the time the persecution started by the Jewish people, and we see how the people are able to testify in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, and they marveled. In our personal life, the Spirit of God is given to affirm that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Not only that, we are called to proclaim that Jesus Christ. It is not stopping just with the affirmation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We as the members in the body of Christ are called to be the witness. Everyone are called to be the witnesses. Sometimes we may work in our different contexts. That's why the founders of Campus Crusade and the YWAM, they came with the 7 mountains of influences. You can go back to your home and try to go through the Google and find out 7 mountains of influences where the theologians like me, the pastors or the missionaries, we cannot go. But the Lord is calling each and every one of us, the called ones, to be the witnesses. And these are the 7 places it talks about. The government, economics, the place of faith, education, family, media, medicine, that means the hospital, the celebration, like the arts, sports, and media. These are the places where we cannot come as a theologian. But if you are called to take up these things, the Lord wanted to be the witnesses over there. Friends, the first reason why the Spirit of God was given was to our personal purposes. And secondly, we see the Spirit of God was given to our family life also. First is for the personal life, secondly for the family life. Acts chapter 5, it talks about the well-known passage, Ananias and Sapphira. You know that they sold the property, they kept partial of that. See, the family is a unit given by God. We see as a wonderful structure to glorify God. The family is not for our selfish purposes. God wanted to do his purposes through families. That's why in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord has given the structure family. Husband and wife, companions, they should always work together. When one person falls, the other person should be able to lift. Here, Ananias, when he tried to hide and tried to lie, probably that time, the Spirit of God must be talking even to Sapphira. She should have said, what you are trying to do is not the right time. See, in our families, the Spirit of God is needed to fulfill God's purposes. Here, both joined together. That's why Peter was telling, how come you both joined together to lie against the Holy Spirit? Friends, to fulfill the purpose of God, we need the Holy Spirit in our families. Some of the reliable sources, what is talking about, why they had to take that decision, because the persecution came and they are thinking about the future of their children. Sometimes we try to compromise because of our children's sake. We may be okay within our lives, but when we think about the next generation, friends, let's not forget that the children are gift from God. They are belonging to God. We are just the caretakers. We are just the stewards of the children the Lord has given. Let's not make our children as mini gods. Many a families, they drift away to do what the Lord wants them to do because they always keep the children in the center of their family life. Yes, we should give priority, but Lord, be the preeminent of our families. One of the reasons, the history says that the reason for them to lie because of the future of the children. Let us commit our children into the hands of God. May the Lord take care of our children. And we may be the spectators of God's glory in the lives of our children. When you do that, as John says, there is no greater joy than to see the children now walking the truth. The third aspect, the first one is the personal life, second is the family life. The third aspect is the daily life. Chapter 6 of Acts. Here we see now the needs have become so much in the church. When the multiplication started, the problem also started. Now the apostles are supposed to identify a team of deacons who may be able to serve the purpose. So they bring a wonderful guidelines to identify the leaders so that they may be able to cater to the needs of the people as well as faithful to the calling what the Lord has given to them. That's what the Bible is talking about, so that we may be able to continue in reading and meditating upon God's word and pray. Friend, this is a good combination, the collaboration, giving our time for the proclamation and the demonstration where we should work together. And at the same time, our decisions are very important. Daily life, we will stand in the crossroads with a lot of problems and challenges. And that may be the time we may be able to listen to the voice through the Holy Spirit to take the right decisions. Here, when there was a problem, they did not get away from the problem. They addressed the problem with the help of God. And here, the apostles are giving all the guidelines where they are talking about the full of faith and the Holy Spirit to be the witnesses, whatever may be the circumstances. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In our decision, when it is totally empowered by the Holy Spirit, the result will be, verse 7, it says, Acts chapter 6, it says, the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. our decision always impact in the kingdom of God. People have come to Jesus Christ and we are able to see the visible presence of God's people. Friends, in all our decision, let's keep God's kingdom and the people who never heard the gospel in the center of our lives. Sometimes the temptation is how my life, how my family, that may be dominating. But wonderfully we see how in our daily life, in our decision making, when we keep God and the Spirit of God in the center, God is glorified through our decisions. Very important. That's the only way we can be the salt and light people may be able to see through our decision. First, through our personal life. Secondly, through our family life. Third, through our daily life in our decisions. The fourth aspect in our public life, chapter 7, it is talking about Stephen. When he addressed to the multitude of people, when he was confronting on certain areas, and it says, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, they garnished at him. And friends, this may be the time for him to react to the situation. But here is a person who once again totally yield to the Spirit of God. Verse 55 says, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed to the heaven, saw the glory of God. And then we see, he was asking the Lord to forgive these people, not to put anything on them. What a wonderful story. In our public life, when people react to who we are, that may be the time for us to react and lose our testimony. But that may be the time we should be under the control of the Holy Spirit, the influence of the Holy Spirit, where we may be able to reflect the beauty, the nature of God. Stephen, though what he was doing was right, he would have justified, confronted. He didn't use that methodology as we do all the time these days, is it? Confronting, justifying. He knows what is the truth. But in public, he wanted to maintain the testimony to forgive. That's what the message. These are the days why there is a lot of breakdowns in our families. Why we are not able to get along with our colleagues in our workplace. We don't have the spirit to forgive. Always we try to fight for our rights, justify ourselves. Forgiveness is the only way to build our relationship, restore our relationship, where people may be able to see the wonderful glory of God. We walk among a tribe called Ho. Probably you would have heard about Graham Staines, a person who was burned alive in India. Same area we are walking. A few years back, four sisters were beaten by the villagers. And then I went to the same place for my ministry. I wanted to see these four ladies because they are chased out of the villages and they are going from one village to another. At the end of my conversation, I asked them, do you have any prayer concerns to pray? All the four ladies joined together and said, we are praying for only one thing. The people who have beaten us in our village should be forgiven by Jesus Christ. We want to see one day there will be a worship group in our village. We want to go back and worship God along with them. I have never heard such a kind of prayer concerns from any educated people. These are the downtrodden, marginalized, untrained, uneducated. People did not have much sense. But I really salute those people. Have you heard any this kind of prayer concerns anywhere? I have never come across. I am also a pastor for a pastor's son. I have never come across. I prayed. Then our colleague said, this week we are going to have a court hearing. And they immediately said, please don't pray for that. If you pray and if God answers our vision for the village, what is that? Forgiveness, worship group. We want to go back. That will not happen, please. They said, if we win, the enmity, bitterness will come up. Let's not pray for that. What a wonderful theology. We have been praying for such a kind of people, but I praise God for their commitment to Lord Jesus Christ with a little information. After 18 months, three people came to the Lord who beaten them, and then these families are called back. I went again after a few years because we want to dedicate the New Testament in that particular language. More than 4,000 people came. These four ladies are standing in the front. They called me, please come down. When I went down, they showed another 50 people and said, last time when you came, you prayed for the salvation of our leaders. Now we have a vibrant worship with more than 50 people. These are our congregation members. Forgiveness can bring people to the Lord. In our public place, you don't need to have the tag called pastors or the missionaries. You are the called ones in the public square to be the witness for Jesus Christ. Finally, verse chapter 13, it is talking about the church in Antioch, how the church was fully involved in the mission of God. And we see verse 2, they ministered and said, set apart to me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Friend, the church should always not only pray and support, we should send people outside for the work of the Lord. Sometimes we may be focusing on the prayer and support. No, we should be able to motivate our young people to go for the work of the Lord. Paul and Barnabas both are very active in the church, gifted people. The Lord said, set apart them for the work of the Lord. When the Lord motivated them, they're able to commit their lives and go for the work of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, this morning we heard about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in God's mission. Five different dimensions: personal life, family life, daily life, public life, and church life. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God will take control of our lives in all our decisions, so that till the last breath, we will continue to serve God's purposes. Let me conclude with my own story. My parents were Anglican pastor in Tamil Nadu, the down south. The Lord led them to be our missionaries. They went to work in the remote tribal area, and I was born and brought up over there. When I was 4 years old, I was down with fever. I was taken to one of the well-known Christian hospitals. After 4 months, the doctor said, I am down with polio. Nothing can be seen from his life. So they have sent me, along with my parents, to the mission field. And after some time, my left hand was attacked, disturbed, and I lost my left hand. It has become almost one third of the right hand. The villagers came and told my dad, you're talking about a living God, Jesus. But when your son had a nice hand now, it has become dead. How can you say that your God is a living God? As all these things are happening, the bishop called my dad and said, why don't you come to this hospital and be a chaplain so that you can continue with the ministry? Your son can take the treatment. Our parents prayed. The Spirit of God said, good proposal, but this is not my plan for you. See, sometimes when we think about the good proposal, we think that God have interest. But above all, when we seek, the Lord should give peace in our hearts. So my parents wrote to the bishop saying that the Lord is not giving us the peace to move forward. At the same time, the Lord gave the promise from the scripture. And they shared with some of the friends, the praying churches. Always I say, God's work is a teamwork. When you pray, the Lord listens, even thousands of miles far. And our parents are not able to go to the fields. They had to confine at home. So many months like that. After many days, there was a day, early morning, I had the vision of Christ coming to my home, touching my left hand. And I called my dad around 5 o'clock. Papa, Jesus came, touched my hand. I was able to raise my hand. He said, Raja, why don't you get up and rise? I was able to rise. In the midnight, it was 1/3. When I got up in the morning, there was no difference between the right hand and the left hand. And you can see my right hand and my left hand. Accordion is my favorite instrument. I play accordion. hours together. I praise God for my parents who listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit. My parents lived for another 58 years, served God. Last year, at the age of 89, my dad went to be with the Lord and buried among the people with whom he walked. What I want to say, friends, when we yield to the Spirit of God, you will accomplish what is not. Sometimes we may think about our setbacks, our challenges, our difficulties. When we come into the Spirit of God, the mission is not with what you don't have, what you do with what you have in our hands. It may be our own limitations, weakness, struggles, emptiness. Commit to the Lord. When it is empowered by the Spirit of God, the Lord can use it for His glory. May God bless you as you move forward. Shall you look to the Lord in prayer.